wonderful thing that every time you come, God has something for you? I don't know if you know my middle name or not. I am the clay. I'm named after my mother's father. And that's the first time I have, it was just like God tapped me on the shoulder or did something about my name. He is the artist and the potter. I'm going to tell you, that's going to make a difference in me this week. He is the artist and the potter. And I am the canvas and the clay. Did you get that? Did you worship God during that? Did he get you? I think that's the question. Did he get you during that? That, you know, and he's not finished with us yet. What a great tagline. He's not finished with. And that's what the message is about this morning, that he is not finished with us yet. He is just in the process of bringing us together and wanting us to pay attention to him. And this morning, this is the last in the series of essentials for becoming a successful, living a successful Christian life. Of course, it's not the end, but it's the end of kind of the four sermons that I put together. And next week's Father's Day, so we're going to be addressing that. Now, I need to ask you to do something for me this Wednesday. This Wednesday night, I've asked that our students take the Wednesday night service. And I've already heard some things about how God moved in the hearts and moved in ways of protection, did some supernatural things. And so I just asked Ethan if he'd come and he'd use our students and our chaperones. And would you come and meet God in a special place? And would you come and be here to encourage them in the faith? Just if you can interrupt your schedule, you come and be part of this. No telling what God can do. I pray that God would start a revival, a spiritual awakening with this group. But not stop. That seed would come here, and that we would be open to receiving the Spirit of God in the way that he wants to massage our hearts and help us to step into becoming a faithful follower of Christ. And so that's what I've just asked. And it's been a good week praying for each of you and praying for your chaperones. And going to Ridgecrest is like going to just below heaven. Because, God, you know, I think God hangs out in North Carolina. He didn't forget about Florida. I'm telling you that we are the sunshine state. S-O-N. God is so good to us. So thank you for being here. Let me just begin by saying this morning, James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only. For years we have become hearers." I don't know how many of you remember the days of study courses. And you may have taken some of those books were brown, some of them were blue, and some of them were green. And you would take those courses, and you'd meet together as a group, you'd study them together. And at the end, you'd fill out this little form to get credit for the course. And when you took enough of those courses, you would get a diploma. It was kind of an award, kind of an affirmation that you've done something good. And I do grateful for that. That's to help us become. In days past, there was a pathway that most of our churches, when I asked churches, the Southern Baptist churches, most of our churches were on, and we knew the path that we were able to take in those study courses was the path in learning and leadership. We followed that with our missions emphasis on ACT teams and RAs and GAs and to let that seed grow in the life of our young people because it had already grown in the life of our adults. And we have been faithful people of supporting of international missions and national missions all around us. And then there were those opportunities for us to understand evangelism. Now, evangelism, boy, that's a great word, isn't it? It means soap sellers. That's the root of the word. Have you ever thought about that? Evangelism, soap sellers. You sell soap to do what? Kind of clean up. That's right. And it's the relationship of the Spirit coming in and doing the cleaning. We can't do the cleaning because we have to yield and confess and come to God and say, please forgive me of my sin. I open my life and ask you to come in and save me and help me to, key word, become the person you want me to be. And so we did the, you remember CWT? That's code, CWT, code for Christian Witness Training. And then we had Evangelism Explosion, Dr. Kennedy. And many of you probably went through that. We're learning to share our faith. And let's see, we had CWT, we had EE. Oh, we had faith. Did y'all do faith? We had faith training on giving the plan of salvation. We have been through these things. So we have a pathway that takes us to become disciples. We have those study courses, or in the past we had those study courses. We've had that mission emphasis. We have an evangelism emphasis. And then on occasions we had celebrations. We called those banquets. We would celebrate an evangelism success at the end of our time of training people and people going out and experiencing a harvest. We would come back together as a church and we would have a banquet and we would give people awards for going out and being part of that. We had celebration banquets for stewardship. You know, when we'd be trying to raise money for a capital program, we'd ask people to come together because we would celebrate the goodness of God and we were projecting something that's called faith for the future. That's what it was. And then we would have Sunday school transition to life group. The reason this word life group has come into play is because Sunday school became a class. And it was going to learn in a class setting where many, many times it was a lecture. You sit there and be still while I lecture and instill. It became that. And so the transition was, instead of going to a class, I would like for my life to be changed and it not be knowledge in the head, but it would be something that would get out of the head and into my life, into my heart, and it would change my language, it would change my attitude, it would change my fruitfulness, it would change my whole spirit, because I'm doing life with people, and that meant fellowship. And who doesn't like fellowship any more than Baptists? I mean, I'm wearing fellowship. You know, we've been to those times where we get those cover dish dinners and everything. But there was a time of accountability in that Sunday school class that we transitioned out of when we started doing life together. That's why it's life group. We're doing life together. It's not me in this by myself. But it's us together. See, I like that phrase. We're in this together. And so there were some elements that we had to be accountable for. Now, this is what I grew up with. I grew up going to, quote, the Sunday school class. And when you go into the Sunday school class, they tear off that little piece of paper that had all these places for you to make check marks on. The first one was present. And I thought, you can't check it off if you're not present. They could just put that one there and it wouldn't have to be. But, you know, it's being more than physically present. I want to interpret it as being spiritually present, spiritually sensitive. And so it's present. The second thing was an accountability being on time. Now, look, somebody told Florida that we're on island time. You know what that means, don't you? If it starts at 9, I got to be there by 9:15. Well, if you're on Florida time during the rapture, goodbye, Charlie. Why would it be important for us to be on time? Really? Can I let you in on something? It's called respect. That's what it is. Being on time encompasses the element of respect. So being present, being on time. And then they always ask for this one, studied the lesson. Have you ever thought about what that means? When I say we, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about all the Christians. We've kind of taken liberty in defining our terms so that our terms fit us. So studied your lesson, does that mean they gave me one of the lesson books and I carried around? Does that mean I opened the lesson book during the week and I looked through it? Does that mean that I read my Bible some of that time during the week? Or what does study the lesson mean? It meant that you read the lesson. In the day that I grew up, it meant that you read the lesson. But let me tell you what that really is. It's not just reading the lesson, it's comprehending the lesson. And I said we move from classes to life groups so we can get the knowledge out of our head and into our heart and into our lifestyle so that doing life together makes a difference with the people that's around us. So you're present, your own time, you studied your lesson, and then at the end of the lesson, that last page back there, it had daily Bible reading. And you had to read your Bible every day for 7 days to be able to check that off. And so, are you seeing where I'm going? There's an accountability. We've lost the accountability. And then there was this thing on giving. And one of the first things I remember going to the class where Miss Moon was the teacher, and Daddy always gave me and my brother money to give during the Sunday school hour. Always. We never went empty-handed. You know what? That's paid off today, because there was a simple thing of helping me and my brother to understand that we're to be givers. We're to give something back, that we're not to be, what's the opposite of givers? Takers. We're not to be takers. We're to be givers. And we ought to be the pace setters for the givers. So being present, being on time, studying the lesson, daily Bible reading, giving. And then it would ask about attendance and worship, because we wanted to connect the lesson from the Sunday school and the life group to living it out and making it come together as a package that we had worshiped the very God we had studied about. And then, of course, there was this thing about contacts. That's code for evangelism, because you were to report the number of contacts you made. Did you talk to somebody about coming to church with you? What was it that you did? This is a pathway from the past. Then what is our pathway for the present? That's what I want to talk to you about. I'm calling it becoming. The pathway for us to move forward is becoming. So James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Continue to become. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us, and he's talking about how we're going to become, let us throw off all the things, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. The race that's marked out for us is the becoming. The race that's marked out for us is making our life available. The race that's marked out for us is put on your running shoes. And some people have hung up their running shoes. They've said, it's just too tough. Well, folks, it's time to get the running shoes back out. If we're going to become, put on the running shoes. So I want to talk with you about the 6 points this morning. Point number one is the expectation of becomers. Colossians 1, verses 10 through 12. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. All right, there's a big statement. Living a life that's worthy. He didn't just stop there. When I say He, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Didn't just stop there when he was giving these words to Paul for him to write to preserve for us today, because he continued this and he says, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, that you might have what? Great endurance and patience. If you hang up your shoes, there's no more endurance. If you hang up your shoes, there's no more preparation for running. If you hang up your shoes, you're quitting the game. So get the shoes back on and giving, verse 12, and giving joyful thanks, to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of life. That's salvation. Qualified. Inheritance of the holy people. That's your salvation experience. We ought to take that verse and put it first and say, this is the qualifier, and because I'm qualified, because I'm saved, because there's a plan for me, because there's a pathway for me, because there's a race for me to run, these are the things, excuse me, that I ought to do. Let me unpack these right quick. So the living worthy, where he says living worthy in verse 10, that's becoming a living example. It's commendable daily living is what that is. And then when he says bearing fruit, there ought to be some positive purpose in our life, acknowledging the mission of God that's on us. And then we ought to be delighting in God. And delighting in God is the recognition of his ownership. He owns us. And if he owns us, we have to yield to the direction and the control of the one that is the owner of us. And then the last one is developing wisdom. That's the qualification of salvation or sanctification. Sanctification means that we are set aside for a purpose. That's what that means. Once we're saved, we're brought into the body, into the bride, and there is a process. There is God leading us in becoming, and part of this is to live out the Christian life with success. It's expanding the scriptural impact on our life, the scriptural understanding of our life. It's expanding the wisdom. The scriptures tells us, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you generously. That's what this is. And so that's our expectations of becomers. You've got to be saved. The second point is the concept of becoming. What is this concept of becoming? Well, I've gone to the English language, the Greek, and the Hebrew so that I could get a concept that I could put into words that I could pass on to you. I've used the words several times in the past called metamorphosis. That's an English transliteration of a Greek, that word that was passed on to Latin and came to us from Latin into English. Meta is a prefix, and meta means that to be comprehensive, that it includes everything. The morph means that there's a new shape for this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. Now listen, key word here is transformation, changing, metamorphosing, moving from just what you are to what you can become. There's a series here. There's a pathway here. But we, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image of the glory to glory, just from the Lord, from the Spirit. That's it. There's transformation. There's change that is supposed to be happening in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and everything becomes new. So, and then Paul kind of sums all this together up in Romans with chapter 12, verse 2, where he says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is this wisdom? What is this renewing of the mind? It's the insights that come from the scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is the will of God, that which is good and the acceptable work of God. So that's the scriptural basis. What I'm saying now, back to this Greek, this word become, the first word in Genesis, well, not Genesis, but in the New Testament, the Greek, it is genomai. And it means to be converted. I can just see. It's our genome. Now, I'm interpreting it my way. It's our genome. It's not that piece of dust that we were created from. It's exactly what we sang about this morning, that God placed us in our mother's womb and he formed us. And this is our deoxynucleic acid, DNA. And we are, nobody's like us. We're an individual. God created us. And then Isis, the Greek meaning of this, is to abundantly pour into. And I'm thinking about this is the way God abundantly poured into us at our salvation experience. The Holy Spirit came to live within us, and it was a pouring into us through the Spirit, giving us a lean into wanting to be taught the truth and accepting the truth and living out the truth is what this is. The Hebrew word for become, three of them, is haya. And it means to exit everything that's unhealthy. It means to throw off all of the weaknesses. The second of these Hebrew words is gadol. And it means to magnify, to make it larger. And then the third of these Hebrew words is male. And it means to consecrate with fullness, to set it aside, and to be used for a specific purpose of transformation. Now, based on all of that, what is becoming? Here's what I wrote for me. Hopefully you can connect with this. Becoming is the process of moving from a beginner's understanding of what the Christian life is to developing an alignment with the teachings of Jesus, the values of morality, doctrines, and the alignment with the Bible, what the Bible teaches. Now, that's what I mean by becoming. The third point is this, to the influence of becomers. If this is the process, and this is what our understanding is, the concept coming from these words and coming from the Scripture and the pathway that we've had in the past, then there's a pathway for the future, and we've got to step into that future pathway. What is this influence of becomers? It involves a putting on and a putting off. Would you just picture with me Moses? And here goes Moses out into the desert, Midian desert, and he's there, and he walks by, and there is a bush that is burning, but the bush is not consumed. Now, that's an impossible thing, right? We call that a miracle. It's impossible. It's a miracle. And then the second of the miracle, there's a voice that comes out of the bush, and he calls him by name. And he says, Moses, you remember what he told him to do when he called him by name? Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. And then he told him, why? I want you to take off your shoes. Because you're coming into my presence. Take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. You have just walked onto holy property, holy ground. And all of this comes together. Moses, take off your shoes and put your knees on the ground. Now, folks, if we're going to become, there is a sense of humility that we have to bow before God and say, speak to me. See, I honestly believe God is calling us by name and we're not necessarily hearing his call. We've gotten so busy with the things around us. But the influence of becoming is taking off something and putting on something. Then there's this guy by the name of Joshua who was mentored by Moses. He was training him to become a leader, to become, do you catch that word, to become a leader, because God had already told Moses he's going to be stepping down and going to heaven, and then there's got to be the leader. The leader is this guy by the name of Joshua, because he has potential for becoming. Why does he have potential for becoming? Number one, he's been teachable. He's listened to what Moses has had to say. He's done what Moses has asked him to do. What about us? Have we done what God's asked us to do? Have we been listening to what God is saying? Now look, I know we're in transformation here. I know we're moving on to a new day. I know that COVID has affected us. I know that. It has me. I know that there's still grief that's here because we have lost Brother Tom. But I am telling you, there is a movement to move forward with God because we are becoming. And so Joshua, you're the leader. You get everybody to march around Jericho. Okay, tell them to march around seven times. Don't you know the first time it was okay, second time, I don't know, third time, I'm tired of this stuff, fourth time, I've had enough of this, fifth time, I don't like Joshua. You know, he requires too much of us, I don't like Joshua. Sixth time, I'm tired and I'm going to sit down. And the person next to you says, no, you're not. Joshua said, and I believe God spoke to Joshua. And they marched around 7 times. You know what happened? They took off all of that fear when those walls came down. What did they put on? Courage! They put it on! What about us? What are those things that we need to take off and put on? Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said, I went to church. I love this. I went to church and God showed up. Why? I went to church, I went to the temple, and all of a sudden in the temple there was this manifestation of God and His train, His being filled the temple. The smoke came in. There was the sense of holiness that was all around us. And my heart started quivering because I realized I was a sinner. You know what Isaiah said? I'm a man of unclean lips. When you get in the presence of God, you know what's going to happen? Now look, folks, when you Christians die and you go to heaven, you're not going to strut in. It's going to be God welcoming us in because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so all of a sudden, it's not this prophet Isaiah that's strutting around. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, I don't know. I got to figure out this theology, okay? I don't know. When he said, he started confessing the sins of the nation, and I dwell among the people with unclean lips. Now I tell you, well, here's how I'm reading this. I'm getting right with God, and I want my people, my nation, to get right with God also. And he got on his knees, he fell before the Spirit of God in the temple that was there, and he began to confess his sin. And then all of a sudden there's another voice that comes. Well, you know, the angels went over, the seraphim, they got the coal from the altar, they brought it, put it on his lips and said, now you're clean, you're totally clean. And then there's this voice that comes and it says, who will go for us? Yeah, it was just like that up then, too. Nobody would speak up. I don't know how long the silence lasted. But I know it was a silence of conviction. I know it was a silence that said, do I want to become? And Isaiah said, I'll go. And we have the book of Isaiah today. We have that account of Isaiah today because he said, I'll go. I don't know. I just get these pictures in my mind. And God's in the room and Isaiah's, he's kneeling down now. He gets prostrate on the floor. He just leans totally. He puts his face on the floor. He stretches his hands out. There's no other position that he can be in because he's in the presence of a holy God. And God says, who will go for us? And nobody else is responding. And his face is down. I don't even think Isaiah looked up. I think if you could look and see Isaiah, there's just a little hand up beside his head. And he's thinking about, how much becoming do I want to be? Well, if I put my whole hand up, does that mean I'm all in? If I put my whole hand up, what do I have to change? If I'm comfortable with this. And then he said, no, I'm not comfortable with this. And while he's lying face down on the floor, his hand goes up and he holds it. And then I think he starts waving it. He's not looking around. He doesn't know if anybody else is convicted like this or not. And he starts waving it. And he says, here am I. This is me. Send me. Send me. Because I want to become. So those are the decisions that have to be made. Now look at number 4, the effect of becoming. Here's the effect. It's called accountability. Just like I talked with you about those little white sheets that we used to fill out and be accountable. No longer are we accountable. Anybody have to sign in this morning? Anybody have to say you studied a lesson? Anybody have to say you were on time? Anybody have to say you did your daily Bible reading? Anybody have to say that you made any contents? We've lost ground. We've lost our discipleship pathway. When you lose accountability, I don't see Jesus being soft on accountability. Now, if you guys think that, if you just like to learn a little bit more, just stick around another day. I can't see him saying that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, when he's giving them the discipleship orientation, the Beatitudes is what I think, and they're beginning to think, I got to wrestle with this. And I think Jesus sat down and said, okay, what did you not understand? Because we got to move forward. This is the orientation. This is the easiest part. You've heard it now. You have to live it out. That's the effect of becoming. He chose Simon, changed his name to Peter. Look, he was a failure. Simon Peter was a failure. He became, listen to the word became, he became a successful evangelist. He chose Andrew. And Andrew was a seeker. Remember, he was John the Baptist's disciple, and John the Baptist introduced him to Jesus. And then he goes home and he finds Peter and says, you've got to get in this. The Messiah is here. So the seeker became a multiplier. James Boanerges, James and John, the brothers of the children of Zebedee and brothers together, they were given the nickname Boanerges because they had hot tempers. And so this is what happened. A hot-tempered individual became one of the inner circle leaders. John was the beloved. You remember that? He was a fisherman, just a common fisherman, but he became known as the apostle of love. He's the one who leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper. He's the one who probably caught it first that Jesus was the Messiah after what Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And then here is Philip. He's a notable individual. He's teachable, but he becomes a faithful multiplier. Bartholomew, that we also know as Nathaniel, Bartholomew, same person. He's a fact checker. And he became a blessing to the disciples because he would think through things. He would process. He was analytical. And then Matthew, you know him as Levi. You know him as a hated tax collector. Listen, folks, a hated tax collector. He had a long way to come to be accepted in the group. He had a long way to, did you hear the word become before he was accepted in the group? So the hated tax collector became the storyteller of the birth of Jesus. I call that pretty good. I call that transformation. I call that becoming Thomas. We gave Thomas a nickname, right? You know his nickname. The Doubter? Yeah. So we gave Thomas that nickname, so this doubter became a disciple of faith, a multiplier. James, the son of Alphaeus, we know him as James the Less. He had no public reputation at all. We don't know much about him, but he became a faithful follower. Thaddeus, who is Jude, and Labius, the same person, one of the least among the apostles, became an obedient martyr, gave up his... In fact, Thaddeus and Simon Zelote, Simon the Zealot, both of them were martyred together in AD 65 in Beirut. And they laid their life on the line. The Zealot, Simon Zelote, Simon the Zealot, was probably just a couple of years older than John. John was the youngest of all the disciples. And Simon was a he was an independent, hot-tempered, red-blooded, spirited young man. And the reason he's a zealot, he was part of a kind of a political party that hated Rome, but he became the first freedom fighter for the followers of Jesus. He was out front. He laid his life on the line just like Thaddeus. And then we come to this last one. You know who the last one is. Judas is his name. And Judas did become, but he became negative. He became the traitor. And I think that kind of comes to our life. What are we becoming? Well, the choice is yours. become refreshed, choose to stop rather than moving forward, become refreshed spiritually, become refreshed spiritually, physically. And what I'm saying, did you know there is a Sabbath day, and the Sabbath day is holy? And did you know we have a Sabbath day for the reason of rest, to rest, get out of what's going on with our task and everything. And now it just seems to be another day of the week. Become connected to a group of like-minded people, your life group. Everybody ought to be in a life group to help one another, to be faithful, to become faithful. You know, have thine own way, Lord, or have your way with my wife, have your way with my kids, have your way with my grandkids, have your way with my boss. Boy, would I like to tell you how to have your way with my boss. But that's the thing. We've got to let God have his own way. But see, some did not choose to become. Cain and Abel, remember that? Cain, his bitterness took over his life. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness because they had an independent spirit. We're going to do it our way. God, you're going to have to come in on our terms. And then the 10 spies, they went out, spied out the promised land, came back, said, it's impossible. Everything's too big for us. Two guys said, we can go in. They saw the potential. The 10 didn't. And so they didn't go back in. Only those two spies were going back in. The rich young ruler, he came to a day and said to Jesus, what must I do to be saved, good master? Jesus said this. And he said, I've kept all of these from my youth up. I'm a good person. And Jesus said, go sell everything you got. And he decided he didn't want to become. Now, I don't know what happened later to him. But at that moment, he decided not to become. Well, here's the basics of becoming. This is it. Come follow. That was the invitation from Jesus. Come follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Come repent. See, these guys that were followers had an opportunity of repentance. Because there's some things in life that you have to change if you're going to be a follower. And then come pray. They said, Lord, teach us these precious principles of prayer, because Jesus would go off and pray. Teach us to pray. And teach us the scriptures. See, they knew the Old Testament scriptures. But now they're being introduced to the Messiah who's right in front of them. So I'm asking you this morning, do you want to become? Or you want to check out? Become. Number one, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm not becoming. Maybe I am becoming critical, bitter, self-centered. But God, I don't even like me the way I am. Can you do something with me? Please forgive me. Come into my life. And God, I need transformation. I don't need to be conformed to this old way that I've been. Please come get me. And guess what Jesus does? You can use your words. It's your heart attitude. Come get me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come into my life. Save me and help me to be the person you want me to be. That's it. What's your next step? Well, the next step ought to be becoming. Get in a life group. It ought to be follow Jesus in baptism. It ought to be become part of a fellowship, a church, and be identified with Jesus. So, what is your next step? Start reading the Bible. Start praying. Start fellowshipping with people who can help you go to your next level of spiritual transformation. Listen, I'm going to be here at the front. The staff is going to be here at the front. And I'm asking you, what is your decision about becoming? Who do you want to become? You want to become like Jesus? You want to become like some rock star? No. Come humbly, and he will lead you to become. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. Thank you that you've not given up on us, that you're the artist and the potter, and we are the canvas and the clay. Would you mold us, make us, bend us, break us? Do what you want to do to have your way. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Let's stand together as we sing.